All right. Let me think. Take your Bible. I forgot what I'm preaching. What am I preaching, honey? No, kidding. Don't embarrass me like that. Okay. I think it's Romans 14. Romans 14. I told my wife I come out of the back getting ready. We've been coming here since 2000, and we've been doing our laundry in that prophet chamber for most of that time, but I never slept in there. Never had to spend the night in there. But tonight we will, and I hope that's it. We might be here tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, just thinking, Romans chapter 14, and look at me in verse 11. My wife didn't want, she asked me what I was preaching when I told her she volunteered for the nursery. What is up with that, you know? Verse 11, it says, for it is written. Aren't you glad it's written?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that what we know, what we have, what we believe, we got because God saw fit to give it to us in writing? It's not just fables. It's not just opinions. It's not just religion passed down. We've got the Word of God. I'm glad. When I was listening to the first message I ever heard in a jail cell a long time ago now, that preacher, he's preaching away. His message didn't faze me. I wasn't going to get flim-flammed by some religious guy. But when I saw what he said was in that little paperback Bible he gave me, and I was trying to leaf through it, I said, I'm willing to trust what God says. I don't trust men. I was a con artist. The crowd I ran with, we were all con artists. I wasn't going to get conned by a man, but I was willing to believe that what God said is true. And what God said is true. I'm glad it's written. It says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Amen. Confess what? Well, it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's what Paul's talking about. He reiterated things like that in each of his epistles. And he's just reminding them that every knee, every. I looked that up. In English, it means every. Yeah, I knew you'd like that. Every knee shall bow. So he says that, establishes that, acknowledges that, and then he says, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. To give an account means that you're going to answer for some things. Amen? I took a year of accounting in vocational school. My dad was a hardworking carpenter, a tradesman, and he worked in the winter, and he worked in the heat, and he worked outside, and when the job dried up, he didn't work, and there wasn't any income, and boy, I didn't want to have to work that hard for a living. I wanted to get in a climate-controlled building, and when they opened up a chance to go to the vocational school in 11th grade and tour the different classes, hear the teachers give the pitch for their trade. I went over there, and the accounting teacher started talking about accounting, and that was about the last thing in the world anybody expected me to sign up for. But I thought that's an easy way to make good money, to be an accountant. I lasted 1 year. You know what I found out? Accounting is very serious business. And I just say that to say this, giving an account to God. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I want to remind you tonight that giving an account of yourself to God is very serious business. And it's going to happen every knee, every time. It's going to happen. So maybe we should give some more thought to it down here before we get there than we do. All right, so I'm going to preach on giving an account of ourselves to God tonight, accountability, whatever. If you come up with a catchy title, let me know, you know. But let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for grace. Oh, my soul. When I think about giving account for my Christian life, I'm thankful for grace. Lord God, please, I pray you let me say what you'd have said tonight. Be a blessing to these people who have made it very easy for me to look like I know what I'm doing this week. They're an easy crowd to preach to, and I know why. It's because they want to hear from you. And Father, I do too. And you've spoken to me and ministered to me just by rubbing shoulders with these precious saints for this week that we've been here now. And God, I pray that tonight you just minister to us once again. And I'll thank you for that. Lord God, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, I pray you'd make it easy for them to see they need to be saved. They need to be forgiven once and for all. And Lord, it just gets better and better after that. Please, I pray everything goes on here, be according to thy will, acceptable in thy sight, and glorify unto thy Son. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So then everyone, again, it means everyone, without distinction. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. I'm awful glad about that, because I'm the guy that he wouldn't have given the time of day to if he was a respecter of persons. Amen. We're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when the preacher came into jail and said that, read that verse, I thought, oh, that's easy. I'm a sinner. I wasn't under any misconception about that. I worked at it. I was a professional sinner. Amen. I was working on my doctorate in being a sinner. Amen. And so if there was any qualifications besides that, for the grace of God, for the God's gift of eternal life, I would have blown it. I wouldn't have measured up. But it says, so then everyone, I'm glad God is no respecter of persons. Everyone means without distinction and without exception. There's no loopholes. This isn't just for the real bad. Everybody needs the best of the best, the best of society. A lot of people think, well, that's all good. You preach all that stuff. And like I think I might have said it in illustration this week, the guy said, wow, you really did need to get saved, but so do they. Yeah. Amen. We all need to get saved because we all fall short of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no loopholes here. And you're going to give an account of what you do with Jesus Christ. And it says, and so then every one of us shall give an account of himself. So this is personal, just like your salvation is personal. Well, your accountability is personal too, which makes me wonder why we spend so much time worrying about other people and what other people are doing. You're not going to give an account for them. You're going to have your hands full with you. I talked to a preacher out west one time. He was at odds with another guy who left his church and started a church, and it was ugly, I guess, in the beginning. That was before I started going there back in the 90s. And the guy that I was preaching for, he just, you know, wished they could get it right, and the guy just refused to even talk to him. He just, and it couldn't have been that bad, believe me. He didn't kill anybody. But when I talked to the one brother, I was preaching for him, and I went out to lunch. I said, you know, I wish you two could get together. He said, we ain't never going to get that right. He said, we're going to sort that out at the judgment seat of Christ. You ever heard anybody say that? We're going to settle this at the judgment seat of Christ. And I got thinking about that later. And I wonder, what do we think the judgment seat of Christ is like? Like small claims court? You think it'd be like Judge Judy, you know? And you're going to plead your case and the other person, and let me see that document. And you think that's the way it's going to be. It ain't going to be like that. It's one-on-one, and it's you and him. Amen. And you ain't going to be bringing up nobody did you wrong. You're going to be overwhelmed by what you're facing. That book says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Maybe we need to spend a little more time worrying about that, thinking about that. And I don't know, maybe you could all get that in such good perspective, you could look forward to that. Amen. And it says to God. So you're not going to give an account to your pastor or your parent or your spouse. You got to give account to God. Now, you can deceive yourself. We got verses on that. You can deceive others. Amen. We got verses on that. But there ain't no verses about how you're going to deceive God. You can't deceive God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows what's going on. You can deceive yourself, and he knows better. Amen. And you better be glad he's patient and long-suffering. He'll give you a chance to get that right. Unless you end up reprobate. And you don't want that. Amen. So you got to give an account. So that every one of us, so that we're clear there, shall give an account of himself. Nobody else. Not, oh, I wish so-and-so is here to hear this. Or I hope so-and-so gets this. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Just like that Bible talks to you. You need to read that Bible. You need to open that Bible. You need to pray about that Bible. The Holy Spirit that wrote that Bible that dwells in you if you are saved wants your attention. You don't need to worry about anybody else. Amen? That's where we get in trouble. That's what takes the heat off of us. All we can do is figure out and find somebody that's doing something a little worse than we are, and then that takes the pressure off. I'm going to tell you what, there's coming a day the pressure's going to be back on. And it ain't coming as a thief in the night. It's not coming as a surprise. It's right there. It tells you it's coming. So that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I'm going to give you some things tonight that you're going to give an account of. There's a lot, but I know you want to get home to watch the debate. Somebody told me it's at 9 o'clock. Amen. I haven't had television so long, I wouldn't know how to turn one on. But my wife said, maybe we can get it in the prophet chamber. I'll have to talk to somebody about that because I really don't know. Amen? But I'm going to give you some things tonight. Hopefully we won't be too long. But see, I'm stalling already, right? Number one, salvation. Salvation. I got a sign. I bought it at a redneck army surplus store in Tallahassee earlier this year. Metal sign, I'm like that, I like that. And it says, prayer is the best way to meet God. And then that's the top half of the sign. The second half is looking down a barrel of a loaded revolver, and it says, trespassing is faster. And I got to Brother Knowles' church. He kind of lives on the rough side of town. And I put that in my windshield because I was parked in the alley right next to that store, if you know what I'm talking about. I know Tanya knows. Amen. And nobody trespassed that week, amen. And I didn't let my wife walk the dog at night either, amen. That meant I had to, but that's okay. I'm ready to meet Jesus. Lynn, you got to give an account of your salvation. Now, John 14 and verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, not a way. Right, right. Amen, not the fastest way. He's not the best way. He's the best way. Jesus is the best way. No, he's the only way. It says the only way. The religious way doesn't cut it. Yeah, right. Amen. The good person way doesn't cut it. They don't do it. You must come the Jesus way or you ain't coming. Right. Amen. So I'm just throwing that out there. First, start this thing off. I'm not going to make you suffer through a whole message on Christians give an account of themselves to God when you might be in here and you're not saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. I got drawn all over the country. I saw this on the sign of, I don't know what kind of church it was, but this might be the most profound thing they ever said. But it said on the sign, nobody's getting into heaven until Jesus gets into them. I said, oh, stop, write that down, amen. Because that's pretty profound. That's exactly right. He's the only way. No, and then he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We understand, we know that the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And verse 9, we say them together so fast, I think we want to make sure everybody knows we're not saved by works. For by grace, he says, through faith, and not of yourselves, it gets to God. Not of works, lest any man. And, you know, that's a response to the people that do think you're saved or kept by works. But any man should boast. And God knows us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. And if something goes right, and the Bible says most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. So God knows that if we could earn our salvation, if we could work for it or work to keep it, when we got to heaven, we'd be bragging on that, on what we did. Now, I'll tell you what, he puts up with that down here. He does. You listen to somebody, oh, pray for me. God used me. And I'm going, makes me want to puke when I hear that stuff. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, ain't no but bragging going on in heaven. God is not going to put up with that for all eternity. It's grace through faith. Amen. Not of yourselves. You need to understand that tonight, because you're going to give an account of that. You're going to give an account of what you did with a free gift. I took my little girl to a birthday party one time. She's 5 years old. Dropped her off in front of the house. Gave her the present. You should have seen me wrapping up. Okay. And I said, okay, let me take that in, and I'll be back an hour. So I show up in an hour, and here comes Evie. Here comes my little girl, sweetest girl you ever met. And she comes out. She's got the present. And I said, Evie, you're supposed to leave that. And then I said, or at least trade it for something bigger. I mean, I don't know. Amen. And she come out. She says, I took it in there, and the little girl was mad because her mom got the wrong princess on the cake or some stupid thing. Maybe that's a big deal. I don't know. But she came back out, and I said, she wouldn't take it. I said, I tried to give it to her. She's mad, you know, says she didn't take it. And it was a gift, and it was paid for, and it was gift wrapped, and her name was on the tag, and she didn't receive it, and it went right back in the trunk. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus Christ, he bought it. He gift-wrapped it. Your name's on it. But it says to as many as received him, you got to get it. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. You got to confess with your mouth. You got to believe in your heart. It ain't hard, but it's got to be done. So you're going to give an account of your salvation. It says this in Matthew. Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 22. And the Bible says this. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said to him, let him be crucified. I'm here to tell you tonight that every one of us is going to give an account of what you did with Jesus Christ. Now, you that are saved, you did the right thing. Amen. Trusted him, him alone, as your Savior. Shouldn't be hard. The Bible said he died for your sin. You're never going to find another piece of writing in the history of writing, any language, that says anybody did that for you. Nor could they. If they did, they'd be lying. But they don't even pretend that. Muhammad doesn't say that. Joe Smith don't say that. Buddha didn't die from... He died for himself, and he's in hell right now. Hope I didn't offend any Buddhists. You trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, and at the end of the line, you're going to end up in heaven. You trust anything else. You make the wrong choice. You do the wrong thing with Jesus Christ, and you end up in the wrong place. You're going to end up in the lake of fire. I'm obligated to tell you that. You should be glad somebody's willing to stand here and tell you the truth. Now, I say, well, Brother Spurgeon, we hear the truth all the time. I know. But I'm talking about salvation. So maybe somebody made it in tonight. Maybe there's a visitor. Maybe there's a guest. Maybe there's somebody who never thought about it that way. You know, there's good, honest, decent people that go to church, millions of them that go to church in America all the time. But they are not told what I just told them. You're used to it. But maybe somebody in here is not. So I'm here to help you tonight. Amen. You're going to give an account, number one, of salvation, but you're going to give an account of something else. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, there was a time, and I still sign books with this verse. You know, we talk about a life verse. It was my life verse for quite a while. And I got it right in jail right after I got saved. I asked a preacher something, and he gave me this verse in an answer. I have lots of life verses now. But this one's still, man, pretty profound. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what that means? That's not a magical thing, but I'll tell you what. Something changes, all right. Something both change. Something better change, or the Bible's wrong, and the Bible's not. So if you tell me you're a child of God, you tell me you prayed a prayer and nothing changed, you're deceiving yourself, and that's a dangerous place to be. Amen. It says, all things have become new. And here's one of the things that becomes new. In the next chapter, it says in chapter 6, verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. and be ye separate. And the verses to precede that give you a pretty good idea what. Amen? Bible talks about separation. Most Christians, things have changed. I've only been saved 30 years. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than that. In the 30 years I've been saved, most Christians don't want to hear anything about separation anymore. And here's why. Because they want to walk that fine line between godliness and worldliness. That's why there's very little preaching on standards anymore. Amen. If you do mention standards and convictions, then all of a sudden you're a legalist. Somebody asked me, Brother Spurgeon, are you a legalist? I thought, wow, I never dreamed anybody'd ever call me that. I'm the professional outlaw here. Amen. I got news for you. There is no fine line between worldliness and godliness. They are total opposites of the spectrum. Amen. And you're going to have to make up your mind because you're going to give an account. Let me give you an example. Romans 14 and verse 5 says this, one man esteemeth ways, all his ways. I see people that are a little double-minded on an area, and then I read in the Bible, if somebody's got that kind of testimony in some area, he's going to have that testimony in, well, it says all. Amen. Some just better fooling themselves than others. But I'm going to tell you that it says a double-minded man is unstable. I just want to remind you something. You're going to give an account to God of your stability. Of your stability. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 begins with this. In meekness instructing them that oppose them. Selves. Oppose themselves. Real simple, what's that mean? That means you say one thing and do something else. Like you say, I'm a Christian, but you don't act like a Christian, you don't conduct yourself like a Christian. That's opposing yourself. The Bible word for that, Jesus' word for that, is hypocrite. You know what? One of the biggest things, if you do any personal work, you'll hear about why people don't want anything to do with church. It's because of all the hypocrites. And truth of the matter is, it's full of them. Amen. Well, you can just make a point, try not to be one. You can't do anything about everybody else, but you can do something about you. I'm trying to give you something to think about, might provoke you to want to consider these things more, because at the end of the day, and I mean the day, I mean your life, you're going to give an account of yourself to God. Amen. It says in the verse goes on, it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. If you're opposing yourself, you're saying one thing and doing another, you claim to believe this, but you act contrary to what that Bible says, what that Holy Spirit says. The Bible says you are in need of repentance. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You want the truth? I can give you some truth. God is always right. That's the truth. Every single time. I heard a preacher say one time, it's all right to disagree with God. It's all right. Just as long as you know he's right and you're wrong. So if you don't mind being wrong, disagree with them all you want. But at the end of the day, amen, the truth is he's always right. It says in verse 26, and that they may recover themselves. God's got a recovery program. Yeah, it's repentance. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Instability makes you an easy target for the devil. That should be unacceptable to you. Amen? Ephesians 4 and 14 says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The Lord has given us all the tools necessary to get off the emotional drama-driven roller coaster and get some stability. We like to sing about planting our feet on a solid rock. Solid rock will give you stability. The rock is Jesus Christ. So if you're saved, your debt, your sin debt's canceled. Praise the Lord. But you will give an account of your stability or lack thereof. Every church has plenty of drama junkies. I don't know. Maybe you're one. Maybe you're not. Maybe you don't. I hope you don't. I'd have a hard time believing that, knowing people. But amen. I used to say drama queens because it used to be women. But I'm going to tell you what. Men have learned to feed on the drama, whatever. I'm going to think of a word for that. So now I just call them drama junkies. Social media helps that. It's all about me, what I think, what I did. Oh, I was mistreated. That's all it is. All that drama, vomit. I'm writing that down. That was good, wasn't it? All that drama, vomit. It's going around in our churches. It's for one thing and one thing only. And it's attention. And I got a Bible that says that our attention should be focused on the one that deserves the preeminence, and it ain't you and it ain't me. Amen. You're going to give an account of your stability or lack of it. Amen. You won't be pleading your case there. Amen. You won't even have to. You're going to know. You look in them eyes, you see them nails pierced hands, you're going to know what an idiot you were. There's a problem that's worse than that. The problem is you can spend your life just carefree, do what you want to do, and never do anything for the cause of Christ. And that's a wasted opportunity you'll never get back. Give them a count of some things. All right, next. Everybody's favorite. Are you ready? You're going to give an account of your submission. Everybody's favorite word. I know. Right? Men do not like submitting to their pastors. And I do it. I submitted to a correction officers, but I didn't like it. Amen? Men don't like it. Wives, you're also sweet. Not, you don't like submitting to your husbands. My wife was an ultra feminist. In college in the 60s, she didn't need a man. She didn't need kids. She can do it. She's got a master's degree. She can make more money than I ever could, legally. And amen. Amen. That's the generation some of us grew up in. Amen. Funny how that feminist thing kind of turned around. Now you got biological males that are the best athletes in women's sports. Don't you think there's a little reaping there, the rebellion from the 70s is coming. I wonder what we got coming. I don't know. I hope the Lord comes back before I find out. Children don't want to obey parents. And students don't want to obey teachers. And it's just, nobody wants to submit. Can I get an amen there? No, we're not submitting to your question. So, obviously, that's not what I'm talking about. But that's a sore subject. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, I like that more. Now that I'm over 70, I like that verse more than I did when I was in my 40s. But that ain't what I'm talking about either, because the verse goes on and say, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Amen. You're going to give an account of your submission to other Christians. It says, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. One of the most profound verses in the New Testament, to me, is over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, and it said, and it's written by Paul to a church, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If we could get a hold of that, if we could get a hold of that in our churches, where would the strife be over? If we could get a hold of that in our marriages and in our families, if we could just submit to one another, esteem them better than ourselves, but our stinking flesh fights that thing tooth and nail. Amen? Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm talking about working together in spite of our differences, forbearing one another for the glory of Jesus Christ. When people as diverse as the body of Christ is, and there may be some diversity here. You might have some city dwellers and you might have some country folk. I'm talking about I preach from Maine to Miami, from Seattle to San Diego. You tell me, I see the diversity in the body of Christ. And the fact that her and I can go week in and week out, year in and year out, into a group of people, some of them we don't like what they cook, not here. We can't speak what they speak. I got churches that I preach to an interpreter. But because of the blood of Christ, because of the family of God, we've got something in common that's bigger than our differences, and so it is here. And if we can just work together without blowing our own horn, God will get the glory. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members are of that one body, being many as one body, so also is Christ. That's why we were referred to as the body of Christ. One thing you find out when you get older, all the members don't work as good as they used to. Amen? But in the body of Christ, we can all work the way we're supposed to and get something done. I'm talking about getting something done. All right, you're going to give an account of some things. And you're going to give an account of sacrifice. Now take your Bible, I'll get the last two out of this verse. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. And Paul says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present means to offer freely. When I was in the army, we would present arms. That was a salute. That was a show of respect. That's what's going on. We're to present our bodies willingly, a living sacrifice. Amen. He sacrificed his life to keep you out of hell. Amen. And all he asked us to do is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And it's not even a commandment. He says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's asking you to live for him. What's the provocation? According to Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto our knees. You know what he wants from you and me? Gratitude. It's to be thankful. You know when you're whining and complaining, you're not thankful. Amen? That's the wrong team you're rooting for, you're playing for. That's the flesh. That's what the devil, he's the cheerleader for that crowd. Amen? God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say for everything. I've seen a lot of things come down the line for Christians that I never felt inclined to thank him for. But really having a true, faithful confidence that he knows what he's doing and has our best interest at heart, I can thank him in them, because they ain't going to last forever. Amen? Last of all, we're going to give an account of our service. And the verse, Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, you present to my living sacrifice. Holy! There's only one way you're going to even have a clue what that means. And it ain't Google. And it ain't YouTube. It's in the holy book. Holy, acceptable to God, same way. That book tells you what's acceptable, what's not, what pleases him, what doesn't, what he likes, what he loves, and what he hates. And he hates some things. You need to read that list over there in Proverbs chapter 6, and if you're on it, you better get off of it. Amen? You don't want to be on that list. Amen. Reasonable service. In light of what Jesus Christ did, I mean, the hard part, right? Going to the cross. Leaving heaven was enough. But living down here for 33 years, everything he went through, and then allowing them to nail him to the cross for you and I to be forgiven, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? We're going to give an account of our service, and it seems reasonable that we make some sacrifice for him. I'll give you this verse, and I think maybe that's the last one. Maybe not. Go to Romans 6. You need to see this one, and then I don't know what we'll do. I got to turn the page and find out. Oh, there's much. Oh, no. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans is a great book, and chapter 6 is pretty direct. He says in verse 16, Paul writes, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey." That's not too deep, but then he says this, "Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, to whom ye yield." Yield means to let, to allow. It's up to you. It's your choice whom you're going to yield yourself servants to. It's a decision. It's a decision that you have to make. That's up to you. I'm not going to stand everybody and try to guilt trip you into coming to an altar. I'm just here to tell you this. You're going to give an account of that decision. So you do it. You do it, and you do whatever you want. But I'm here to tell you, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, before we shut this down, let me just revisit salvation, just in case. If you're in here and you're not saved, a lot of that isn't even going to matter much to you, even if you try to pull it off. Because, before you can cook anything, you got to turn the oven on. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. He said it again in verse 7, you must be born again. Now, you don't have to be a good person to be saved. And you don't have to be saved to be a good person. I know a lot of good people that aren't saved. Amen? Real nice people. Some of them nicer than us. Amen? But I'm going to tell you what. You have to be born again to get into heaven. The road to hell, somebody said it years ago, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You're in church on a Thursday night. We're not at a rescue mission. We're not downtown. We're not standing outside of a bar. We're sure enough, people that come to church generally think they're... But I'm here to tell you, ye must be born again. And maybe you hadn't heard that or think differently. I'm just saying. It's my duty to tell you that you're going to give an account for the decision you make concerning Jesus Christ. And I hope you make the right one. And we do anything possible to help, but ultimately, it's between you and God. And you've had more information to act on already than I got 30 years ago when I got saved. Let's all stand. I'm enjoying my Christian life. Amen? One of the things that helps me enjoy it is when I get crossways with God, may it be an attitude or response or reaction. Amen? God's really helped me with the major sins, the ones that might, but then it's the heart, then it's the mind. Amen? And one of the things that makes the Christian life really enjoyable, being under conviction is not fun. Like I mentioned last night about a guilty conscience. The Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself. The Bible also says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And going through life wondering when the hammer's going to fall is not pleasant. And don't get the idea because it hasn't fallen yet, you're getting away with anything. God's long-suffering. But sooner or later, wouldn't it be better to just sort it out this side, sort it out down here at the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe something on that list hit home. Maybe the Spirit of God put his finger on something that isn't on that list. I'm just encouraging you. Take a moment. Get it settled. Talk to God about it. Sometimes it's not as easy as, okay, I was wrong, I'll never do it again. Maybe you know. I've been to the altar and said, God, this thing is besetting me, it is grieving me, and I need your help or I'm going to do it again. That's the way I used to go to God. Amen. Thank God I don't have to do that as much anymore. But I never quit, never threw in the towel, never just wrote it into the script. You try, you strive. To get clean before God so that you can, like I've already said this week, you can be a vessel meet for the master's use. Sometimes even in a local church, we can get the idea. It's all about us. It ain't about us. It never was. It's about God using us to reach that friend, relative, coworker that is not saved, that you cross paths with, that God wants to use you to be a light in their life. And the reason the thing that hinders us is because we can't get past ourselves. So he gives us a church, and he gives us a Bible, and he gives us preaching, and every once in a while he gives us meetings like this. Calls us to think and do business with God. And that's what time it is. You listen to your preacher. Amen?